Well, just to let you know that Chester Road Baptist Church today is brought to you by the letter J and the number 3. That's our sponsors for today. So on this occasion, we're going to remind ourselves that the cock crowed, how many times? Three times. That Peter denied Jesus, how many times? Three times. That Jesus rose from the dead on the third day. That Jesus appeared to the disciples three times. Last week we looked at the disciples travelled 3 days after meeting risen Jesus. That three times Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" And three times Jesus tells Peter to feed his lambs or feed his sheep. We've got to a point in the story where Peter is feeling really very, very low. He has proper messed up. And he knows it. And I can identify with that. I can identify with a Peter who has let Jesus down, who has said things that he shouldn't have said, who hasn't said things that he should have said, and has found himself in deep, deep regret. I wonder what sort of things you've done or said that you wish if only you could take them back. Do you know, one of the things that have stuck with me for years and years. When I first started out as a youth worker, this is in 1991, so before many of you were born. In 1991, there I was, youth worker, and we had in the church a family where one of the young people, not so young by that point, had gone off and joined the army. It was the Gulf War, the first Gulf War. And on the first day of the land war, that family got the horrid knock at the door. By two members of the military who'd come to say that Sean had been killed on the first day of the land war. He had a sister who was in the youth group, and the sister was out and about. She was quite a lively character. She was out and about in the town, and she did not know what other people now knew, that her brother had been killed in the land war. And there were people out looking for her, trying to find her. She was somebody that perhaps didn't keep to regular kind of routines. And I happened to be in the town centre and bumped into her. And I said to her, you've got to go home. Your family needs you at the moment. You need to go home. And the more I explained it, the more she did not get what I was saying to her. And in the end, I would have been about 22, maybe something that sort of age. I ended up telling her what the news that had happened in order that she would go home. And I have told you, to this day, I have felt responsible for that news, not just for bringing the news, but for the way I delivered it in a public street, but also for the consequence of it, that I felt somehow responsible for the events that had taken place. But it's not just those occasions that I look back all those years ago for things that I have done or said that I wish I could take back. This week I've had conversations. I had a conversation with a fellow church leader recently, and I felt afterwards, do you know what? I do not think I've expressed myself in the way that I wanted to do. I needed to find another way to express what I was wanting to say. There are some things I'm really happy to tell you about where I mess up, because I want you to know I'm human. But you know what? There are some things, actually, I'm going to hold back, because I think you'd think I was too human if I told you those things as well. And that's the same for all of us, isn't it? We've got things in our lives that we are kind of, we think are borderline okay, borderline risky to let other people know. But other things that actually are just between us and God, because we think, gosh, we've got to take that down a bit deeper. So there's Peter, and he's messed up. He is feeling like he is proper messed up. He's tried to talk Jesus out of dying on the cross. And Jesus has said to him, "Get behind me, Satan." Oh my goodness. Imagine hearing that from anybody, never mind from Jesus. "Get behind me, Satan." That's what Peter has heard Jesus say to him. Peter's fallen asleep at the transfiguration, this great holy moment, and he's falling asleep. He's lashed out and chopped off the ear of somebody who's come to arrest Jesus. That's how much Peter has not understood Jesus' agenda, because he's lashed out and chopped off an ear. Proper knife crime. He's denied knowing Jesus three times. And Peter's bitterly wept, because he knows the enormity of what he's just done, letting Jesus down, he feels, at Jesus' most vulnerable moment. And then afterwards, having met Jesus, having met risen Jesus, it's as if he's run away. He can't quite cope with the enormity of Jesus being there in risen form. So he splits, he goes off back to Galilee. So Peter has messed up. And it says in verse 15 of what we've just read, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Simon, son of John, that's a bit formal, isn't it? Isn't that a bit, it's like somebody saying to me, not just Danny, but Daniel John Brierley. Oh gosh, I can feel that already. A certain voice. It must be my mother in the house. And I know I've done something wrong when I get all three names put together and it's the formal name to start with. Simon, son of John. Don't we know him as Peter? Well, actually, he was born Simon. But when he encounters Jesus, Jesus sees something in Simon that even Simon does not see. He sees potential. He sees some in Simon, somebody who has the capacity for a rock-like faith, resilience. And he says to Simon, from now on, you will be called Peter, rock, Petros, rock. But now, having denied Jesus and let Jesus down so much, Peter does not feel like Peter. He feels like the old way, the old Simon. And so Jesus says, Simon, son of John. It's almost as if that old life has caught up with him again. Are you really wanting to go back to that old way? Could it be that actually you are not going to be defined by your DNA, that the genes you have been born with are not going to have the last word on your future? In Christ, there is a new future. A new way for you. But you have chosen to go back to your old way, Simon. And then he says this, Jesus. Jesus says to him, do you love me more than these? I wonder who these is. Is Jesus looking at all the fishing gear around and saying to Simon Peter, do you love me more than you love your fishing gear? More than you loved your old life, your old comforts, your old habits. Possibly. Maybe Jesus is looking at Simon Peter and saying, Simon Peter, do you love me more than you love these, your brothers, your colleagues, your fellow fisher people, people in your fishing industry? Do you love them more than you love me? Or is he saying, actually, Simon Peter, do you love me more than they love me? Do you love me more than they? Because wasn't it Simon Peter who said at one point, hey, I'm with you all the way. I'm your man. I'm the most faithful of all your disciples. You can ditch the rest, but hey, stick with me. You're going to be all right, Jesus, because I'm right by you. I've got your back. And then so soon afterwards, he's denying Jesus. And what does he say? Jesus says, do you love me? Do you love me? He doesn't say, do you believe in me? It's good to believe. Don't get me wrong. Belief in God is good. But James, the apostle, says, you believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. Wow. So here Jesus is saying, not do you believe in me? That's kind of first level stuff. No, do you love me? And he's not saying, Simon Peter, do you serve me? Do you volunteer for me? Do you do good works for me? No, do you love me? Do you love me? Is that your response towards me? There are a number of different words that we can use for love. If you've gone into your kind of love languages kind of stuff, you'll know there's plenty out there. But in Greek, there's just a number of words that are sometimes used. Different words for different levels of love. We might say things like storge, which is like an affection love, a kind of love between brothers and sisters, between parents and child, an affectionate love. Or there's the eros love, the kind of sexual love, best expressed by two people in a committed, creative relationship together, where there's security in order to express and explore one another sexually. Don't think that's necessarily what he's talking about here. Filio love. That's more like the kind of love between friends, like a mate kind of love, a real solid mates thing. Hey, I'm with you, I'm your mate. Or there's the agape love, the kind of holy love. Remember, God is love. It's not just that God is good at loving. God is love. He is the source of all love. The only reason why you and I can ever love anybody, the only reason why you can ever be in love with somebody or receive love or express love is because God is love. And when you love somebody, you tap into who God is in his very nature. And whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, if you've experienced love, you have experienced God. God is love. And here, Jesus says, Simon Peter, do you love? As in, do you agape me? Do you have is there a holy love? Do you love me with the kind of love that I show, the kind of love that God shows? A love that is resilient, a love that is self-sacrificing, a love that goes the extra mile. And Peter responds, Jesus, you know that I'm your mate, filio. You know that I'm with you as a mate, as a friend. And Jesus says, feed my lambs. But then Jesus asks the same question again. Simon Peter, do you agape me? Do you really get me? Do you really love me with a holy God-like love? And Peter again, confused, says, you know I'm your mate. Again, Jesus asks the question to him. Simon Peter, do you like me? And Peter's crestfallen at this because he gets what Jesus is getting at now. Oh, Jesus, you know that I love you. Then feed my sheep. And what Jesus says to Simon Peter, he says to us, do you love me? Do you love me? Because there's all the other disciples around, and Jesus comes to Peter and says, Peter, do you love me? He calls him out. He singles him out. And it must have been a little bit socially uncomfortable at that moment. All eyes on that conversation. And it's as if right now, God himself in heaven is singling out each one of us here today. Do you love me? Do you love me? Hear your name in that. Do you love me? And when Peter responds, again, each time Jesus says, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, take care of my sheep. And we might say, well, actually, well, that's all the same thing. Well, maybe it is. And maybe there's just a little hint of a reminder that as we've committed to being an intergenerational church, it's across the ages. So we're going to feed lambs. And yes, sometimes a lamb is going to make a little bit of noise in the service. And we're going to say thank you and yes and amen and hallelujah for that too. Nobody is ever going to tut, tut, tut. Because lambs make noise. And they bring joy. And we celebrate new life. And that's what we do as church. So we work with our lambs, with our youngest here in our church community. And yes, we work at the other end of the spectrum too. I won't say mutton. You understand that? Across the ages. Care for people, love people, serve them. If we love Christ, we find ourselves then going on to loving others. Isn't there a healing in that? Can you hear Peter? I've let him down and he's come after me. And he's asking me this question. He's kind of calling me out. Peter, do you love me? Wow. And Jesus then saying, yes. So get on and do the things that you see me doing. Be part of it. What a healing that is. Not Peter, you've blown it. Stand to the side. Let the others come through now. We need people much better than you. No. You get involved. Be part of it. I can use that. I just need to know you love me. Do you love me? Not that you're perfect. No, I don't need that. I just need to know, do you love me? And you might say this morning, well, I'm not sure if I'm the best Christian. I've let Jesus down sometimes. There's times I'm not sure if I believe. Jesus saying, do you love me? Do you love me? And if you're saying, yes, Jesus, I do love you, then hear this, he's calling you into his service to love others too. Why? Because how did Jesus sum up the gospel? The good news, love God, love others. Not one or the other. And sometimes we get this idea it's all about loving God and we don't worry about loving others because all that matters is that we love God. That's only half the story. And there's others that spend all their time serving others, working and blessing and volunteering and whatever, and that's great, but miss the love God. It's both and. Love God, love others. Peter, do you love me? If so, join me in serving others. But then Peter gets a little bit distracted by John. Well, what about him? Have you noticed there's obviously a little bit of rivalry going on between Peter and John? John, whenever he writes about himself, always just has to put in the one that Jesus loved most. Do you know somebody like that? Who has to kind of project themselves always. And John is always very keen to point out when Peter's made mistakes. And there's a bit of a rivalry going on there, an awkwardness. Maybe there's a bit of an edge in their relationship. But Jesus says, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? That's what we need. A response that says to Jesus, we love him. And it ends by saying this curious question, this statement. John ends his gospel by saying that if everything that Jesus had done and said had been written down, there would not be a library big enough in the whole world to contain it. Wow. How could that be? Because Jesus is still doing stuff today. He is still speaking today. He is still healing people today. He is still answering prayers today. He is still getting down in the dirt with people that feel messed up, stuffed up, rejected, and lifting them up again. That is carrying on. And he's not just doing it in Palestine or in 2,000 miles away from here, a particular postcode. He is doing it across the globe. He's doing it in your household, your family, on your bus, in your workplace, in your street. So yes, there would not be a book big enough. There would not be a library sufficient to contain all that Jesus was doing, because he's still going on, infinitely, infinitely answering prayers. If you and I are responding to him by saying, yes, I love you, then know this, he puts us to service to use him. Simple question. Not from me, it's from Jesus this morning. Do you love me? Do you love me? If so, get involved in doing the things that you see Jesus doing. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we sit here in your presence and we hear you say these same words, asking us, do you love me? Lord, it's as if you were asking these questions directly to us right now. And we respond to you, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You know that I love you. Well, use us, Lord, I pray. Use us for your glory and your service. Help us to respond to you with love and grace. Because of your grace and your love for us. Lord, we recognize there are things that deflect us, the things that we want to use as excuses to say, well, we haven't got the time to respond to you. But Lord, we lay all of those to one side. And we say, Lord, yes, we love you. Receive us, heal us, restore us, use us for your glory, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.